What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 87. All right, so I have your favorite guest back again. There's a little scheduling mishap, but I know she's your favorite guest anyway, so of course that is my wife, Jessica Wilson, or as you know her, at Bootwearing Mama on Instagram. I would tell you to follow her, but don't do that because she's still got more followers than me, but if you do want to follow her again, it's at Bootwearing Mama, whatever. All right, so we're going to talk about today a post that I did, and someone kind of attacked me, called me a little bit backwards and fearful of it, and so we wanted to expand on this conversation because I think it's a very important one in regards to our kids, what we're teaching them, what we're shielding them from, and all of that. First, though, I do want to let you know, so yesterday was processing day. That means that we will have some amazing Crosso meats available very, very soon within the next couple of weeks. Now, if you've been living under a rock and you haven't actually tried it, what I encourage you to do is go to crossomeats.com, get on our email list so you can be notified as soon as it's ready. We will start pre-selling it soon. My guess is that it will sell out very, very fast. So again, go to crossomeats.com. Get on the email list. You'll be the first one to know there. Make sure that if you haven't tried this yet, you got to try it. I mean, I can tell you to try it all you want, but until you actually do it, you just don't know. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. All right, everybody, welcome back. And so we kind of had an emergency podcast today with a little bit of scheduling and guests, but the good news is that you all get to talk to my lovely wife, Jess, again.
Ah, yes. Favorite guest ever.
Favorite guest ever. So the good news is that because sometimes when these scheduling gaps end up kind of accidentally happening, we still get to have a good conversation. And it actually kind of spurs about something that happened yesterday.
Yesterday. Ready for this? Uh-oh, I don't know. He never lets me know what we're talking about.
Because I want it to be spontaneous. I don't want it to be like this rehearsed
Planner
garbage.
Jess doesn't love spontaneous.
Why?
Because I want to prepare.
Because you want to make a list for your list?
Yes, exactly.
All right. So this is something to where I'm curious, and I would actually love to get some of your guys' feedback on this, but I want to talk about what we should expose our kids to.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
So it was spurred by a post I did on the IG side because there's this craziness, and I'm going to pull it up right now, that I saw. And this is the type of stuff that like kind of actually makes my head spin a little bit. So in the New York City Department of Education features a drag queen for a show aimed at 3 to 8 year olds, and then it aired on PBS.
Lovely.
So I know that this is a tough topic for some people because you get into this tolerance and understanding and accepting other people with their differences, which I am all for. I think you are too, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay. So I guess like whenever this type of stuff comes up, it's like, I want to be understanding to people. I want to learn more about other people. I think that that's how you grow as a person. But I also feel like there has to be a line somewhere. And I think that the biggest thing is the age group of this. I mean, from 3 to 8 years old, if you have children that are 3 to 8 years old, which we have three of our four are in that, mm-hmm. that they don't understand some of this type of stuff. And so the reason that spurred this, though, is because basically I had someone comment on there, oh, you're just going to hide your kids. Oh, just go be afraid, you know, like hide your kids from this stuff. And there's part of me that's like, you know what? Yeah, I am going to hide my kids from that. Just as maybe you should hide your kids from a murder scene or, and I know that that's obviously an extreme example, but I think that there's we should shield our kid from some stuff, right? Like, do you agree with that?
Yeah. I think that, again, it comes back to the maturity of the conversation you're able to have, right? Because that can be, you know, and again, Derek doesn't prep me on any of this. So I'm kind of thinking 5,000 different things as I'm trying to think how to relay my thoughts on this. To me, it goes back to the maturity of the conversation. So like with our oldest daughter, Kennedy, she's 11, right? Like she's been around things, school, she's seen television shows. She understands that like some women marry women, some men marry men. Like she understands that's out there and we can have an adult conversation of what we believe to be, you know, our values versus them and how to still, you know, react and interact with those people and like how to handle those conversations. With like, for example, our 3 and 4 year olds, they have no clue, right? Like they have no idea. And I don't know, maybe the world's theory is that we just put it out there all the time and they shouldn't understand that it's anything weird or different or whichever, right? It's that slow going of making it all normal. But again, to me, there's also, it lies so much deeper in that, you know, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. How to explain that to a 3-year-old who doesn't even understand, you know, why they can't fast forward a commercial if we're watching live TV, right? Like that's the world they live in. They're like, fast forward it, or, you know, why doesn't it work? There's certain things that are just not appropriate to even have to have those conversations with.
Well, and I think that that's what gets me, right? Because like I have friends that are gay. Like I don't care about any of that stuff. What I worry about is that we introduce this stuff to kids who are so young, they just don't, they can't possibly at that age comprehend it. I mean, I don't even think it's crazy to think that, right? Like, I mean, at 3 and 4 years old, your biggest worry through the day is like, what are you eating? Or what are you maybe getting?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich cut the right direction.
It's like, are these the things that we want to be exposing our kids to? Like, it's confusing because I believe, and again, I'll always come back to this, that the most foundational biological law that we have is that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And I know people will even fight me on that, but kids don't care about your feelings, right? Like you ever seen a kid, like they just don't care. Like they'll call people fat. They'll call, like, they'll say stuff in front of people that will absolutely,
embarrass the heck out of me.
Yeah. they do that because they don't see the world through our touchy feely lens. They see it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think like little kids are so awesome, because I don't feel like inherently we're racist. Like I think that little kids, like, wouldn't matter if it's a white kid and a black kid or, you know, an Hispanic kid or whatever, like, cool. Like you like, you like to play dinosaurs. Cool. Let's play dinosaur. Like, and that's the part I love about it. But where we get into this weird kind of other stuff is from like, a biological standpoint, from a kid, they see a man who is dressed up as a woman and they don't understand it. And you can say, oh, honey, this man feels like he's a woman. And they're like, yeah, but he's not.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. It's
that's
almost
weird. And then what's almost even worse is at that point they label them weird, right? Because that's kids. That's again, what they do. They're like, well, that's silly. That's weird. And they're laughing at him, right? Because think about it also, like, that the world they're in, they think it's funny, right? Like if they were to dress up, you know, if Riley was dressed up in girls' clothes, they think it's funny. And so then it's almost, I guess I could see a layer deep where then you're almost creating the ha ha, look at them. And again, it's a side of being able to have a conversation of like, they think that this is who they want to be. Let's respect that. And, you know, no, that's not what we do, but you know what? Like that's them, that's their choice. Let's be respectful and kind. You can't have that conversation as easily when, again, they can't understand why in the world are they dressing up in, you know, whatever attire.
Well, yeah. I mean, having the conversation with Kennedy at 11 years old is no big deal. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, I guess, when that comment came back at me, and it's basically calling me fearful for this type of stuff. And, you know, my first reaction is like, I'm not scared. And then there's actually the part of me to where it's like, you know what? Actually, maybe I am a little bit scared of that. And the reason why I would say that I do have some fear around that is because what we're doing is we're breaking down the fundamentals of society. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were ever interested, because there've been multiple superpowers over the years, over our history. And one of the fascinating things is that typically what creates the downturn in a superpower, which obviously in the US we are, is when you start blurring these lines, there's no foundation. There's no core values anymore. Like you could talk with someone in rural Idaho like us, and maybe somebody in inner city, New York, LA, wherever, and we really don't have any shared values as a country anymore, right? And you'll get people maybe who are more rural that will say, well, yeah, it's because you guys are all wackos. And then you'll get the people in the inner city that'll look at us and be like, yeah, you're all a bunch of backwards hillbillies that still believe that we're in the 1500s and, you know, we should be burning witches at the stake or whatever. And so when we don't really have kind of this common foundational thing like that, that terrifies me for our country and for our future, because so many, again, of these past civilizations that rose, it's like the old saying, right? Like the good times create weak people. You start having problems that really aren't problems. We start arguing about things that probably historically really aren't a big thing. Like, you know, whether a man wants to dress up as a woman and whatnot, but it does go to the foundational core of our country. And so again, like coming back to that, it's like, oh, hide your kids. And it's like, you know, like the fact that you don't hide your kids from some things is a little concerning to me. Right. I mean, is that, I don't know. I struggle with this because I want to expose my kids at the proper ages to everything that they can, because I think that equally harmful is sheltering your kids so much that they don't, like, once they're out of the house, they're just like, oh my gosh, I am going to do every drug and I'm going to drink every beer and I'm going to, you know, have sex with every person that I can because I was so sheltered. I just want to do everything. So no, it's not about that. But I think that there are certain things that are age appropriate. Like, I don't want to be explaining to my 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, you know, like, why a man thinks he's a woman or why a woman thinks that she's a man. Like, that is, well, so nuanced.
And it goes back to the whole piece of, you know, where the society is going of, like, and I heard back on Mother's Day, you know, it's not Mother's Day, it's like Birth Giver's Day or some ridiculous.
Birthing person,
whatever. Baloney. Like, that is crap to me. And, but it does, I would say with you is I agree that, you know, one thing Derek and I have talked about is putting our kids, when we lived down in the valley, in like a Christian school. Like, we're Christian. We want to have like those foundational values. I don't necessarily need my kids thinking that, you know, the world is created by rocks getting banged together, all those things. But at the same time, we've had the conversation of that I have seen many people in my life, when you do go to a Christian school, it's almost, you're so, again, sheltered that you don't have that conflict of even the kid in your class who doesn't believe what you believe, or the conversation. And you almost become where you're, you know, we've gone all the way K through 12 with the people that all believe the exact same as you do. And then, like Derek said, you go to graduate and all of a sudden your college professor is saying that, you know, actually we came from monkeys, and you don't even have a way or have the knowledge to defend or explain, or, you know, you're like blindsided. Like, oh my gosh, how do people believe this?
Well, what happens, sorry to interrupt you, but what happens is you go, somebody disagrees with me and the truth. Like, we're seeing that right now.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
Yes.
You have people that challenge the status quo in different areas. And maybe even the person that said that said that I'm fearful of this stuff would say the same thing, but I'm okay having the dialogue. Like, I wasn't rude to this person. I'm not going to say you're an idiot. Like, yeah. I try to be respectful and have a conversation around it, because that's what happens is these kids grow up being indoctrinated into certain ideologies, certain things. And then the first time that they're challenged, they have a temper tantrum because they've never been told something different than what they believe.
Well, and exactly. And that's what I guess what I'm saying is, like, we've already had conversations with our kids of people, you know, that they'll come home and say, so-and-so said this. And it's like, well, this is how, you know, you need to have that conversation. And if it's something that you don't believe or don't agree with or whichever, then this is how we coexist, basically. You know, this is how we're still respectful. And this is how you can still say, well, this is what I believe. That's cool that you think this. And again, it doesn't have to be just even religious things, right? Like, right or wrong. Like, I want to, you know, watch this movie and I don't want to watch this, or, you know, whatever. Again, I don't even have an example, but how to have those conversations. So it's dealing with the conflict. And that is something where I feel like, and this is kind of on a tangent, but being like in the hiring world for so long, there's so many people that do not know how to have appropriate conflict and or conversations, right? Like, how to disagree to disagree and move on and still coexist and live life without having to be a your side, this side, you're wrong, you're an idiot. It's like, this is, it's, you know, the crucial conversations that we need to be able to have in our life. Those start really young. So again, being exposed to things, I think is absolutely necessary in our world. You know, we're not ones that, like, when things come on the news, like, sometimes it's a conversation of like, yeah, this is going on. Or, you know, sometimes, yeah, there's bad people in the world that do this and that. But again, I'm not explaining that to my 3- and 4-year-old either.
No, there has to be some level of innocence at a young age, I believe. Mm-hmm. I saw this thing a while back, and I can't remember if we talked about it last time or not when you were on, about that little boy, and it looked like they were in a church, And
oh, I don't remember if we talked about it, but you know, you told me about it.
Yeah. And it's like all of these women are encouraging this little boy who had to have been like 5 years old to go up there and, what do they call it? Declare his identity or his gender as being a girl.
Was it being a girl or just not being anything?
No, it was being a girl.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I mean, I looked at that and I'm like, this is child abuse. And I know that people will disagree with that, but there's no way at 5 years old, you know, whether or not you're going to quote unquote become a man or become a woman.
Like, well, it goes back to where the other side, and this is what I feel like is so interesting is that, and obviously like we're not like in a crazy cult or something, but you see people who are like the super religious cults of the world and they're having their children, you know, indoctrinated and pledging certain things and all of that at very young ages. And all of society, we all look at them and say they're crazy. But doing what you're saying is now like they're trying to make it the norm that we don't have to, we can have, what are the other things now that gender reveal parties are like sexist?
No, it's crazy.
You know, because God forbid you say your baby's going to be a girl or a boy when it comes out with the penis or a vagina. So right. Like,
which again, I don't know, like the most basic biological.
But I guess what I'm saying is the hypocrisy. That's what gets me, right? So it's like, God forbid we like send our kids to Sunday school, right? We'll probably get chastised because we're child abusing because we're having them go to Sunday school. But at the same time, I can, you know, have to declare my boy's going to be a girl at 5 years old.
What I'd be curious of is on PBS, which is obviously publicly funded, right? So this isn't some private corporation doing whatever they want. This is actually coming from tax dollars, right? PBS is public. Broadcasting, television, yeah. Whatever. So I would be curious, and I don't know the answer to this because I don't watch PBS, but I'd be curious to see like when the last time they did like a Christian show would be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Talking about God.
I don't know.
Christian values.
Yeah. Because that used to be, and I mean, this is when I was a kid, I remember watching PBS all the time. And I think it was because they had the, oh gosh, what did they call it? I don't know if you remember this, like the telethons where they'd have like a movie on and they would be calling in and donating. But it was like Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah.
And gosh, I'm trying to think of the other ones. Like Sound of Music was one that we would watch. And they'd, you know, during the quote unquote commercial break, it would like flash over to all the people sitting in the thing with the old rotary telephones and they're talking on the phone, taking pledges, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I haven't watched.
But I would be curious because my guess is that if they did do that, you probably would hear about it just as you heard about this show, because there would be so many people up in arms about we're indoctrinating kids within this mythical stuff called Christianity. And so I think that that's where I struggle with, is because along the same lines, and again, maybe some of my Christian friends.
What's this show called? I'm trying to look it up. What's this show called? Do you know?
It's called, it's the New York City Department, Little Miss Hot Mess, and a show aimed at 3 to 8 year olds.
Okay.
Little Miss Hot Mess.
Okay. Keep going.
Who's a dude.
Okay.
Yeah. What on earth is a drag queen? Yeah. So I am a drag queen and a children's book author. And you may be wondering to yourself.
So PBS itself, I'm on the parents section. PBS itself, you search for it and nothing even comes up.
Right. Well, and what it said is that this was not a PBS production, from what I understand, but it was aired on PBS. So it wasn't sanctioned necessarily or like created by PBS.
Crap.
But I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
They
right?
get to say what's on their TV. It's not like YouTube or, you know, and even, well, I shouldn't say that. Even YouTube's like whatever it's called, like censors everything.
The hosts, basically then the hosts describe drag queens as everyday people who like to play pretend and dress up as often as we can, going on to say drag queens are also leaders in our community. If you ask me, we make pretty good role models. And that's where, again, I don't care if a grown man wants to dress up as a woman. Like, and I think that that's what's so hard, is that it's not like I'm trying to necessarily shield my kids from that. If we were out and about and we saw a drag queen and my kids looked at them and was like, what in the hell is that? We have the conversation.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, like, does it need to be like put in front of your face? Like, I guess that's where it comes back to.
Well, what I would say though, and oops, I'm putting something down on the table and it makes really bad noises. The thing that I go back to, and maybe this isn't exactly what you were thinking for this conversation, but it goes back to that, like the freedom of choice, right? It's so huge on everything. We have the freedom, like I get to choose if my kids are going to watch what, you know, what they're going to watch, what we're going to read, what our home is going to be involved in, all of those things. So the ultimate choice in that matter is that we get to make that choice and say, you know, either turn it off or turn it on. We find that this is appropriate or not. Obviously, the desensitization, if I said that right, over the just communities as a whole is scary in regards of my values. But at the same time, that's my choice. Like, if you want to say I'm even more backwoods and I turn the TV off and we only watch certain things, whatever. That's cool. Again, we can go back to where we can agree to disagree. You guys, you can watch it. We cannot. There's a lot of things that my kids get mad that I won't let them watch because I don't, and not necessarily quote unquote bad, right? But just things where I'm like, no, I don't like what they're talking about, or I don't like how their demeanor is, or I don't like how these girls are carrying themselves and being like the mean girls, or like just things where it's like, no, I'm a firm believer of what you put in your mind goes into your heart and becomes who you are. Like what you hear, what you listen, what you, you know, just infiltrate yourself with. That's what you, again, start thinking is normal, start thinking is okay. Like, you know, yeah, I'm rambling, but.
Well, no, I agree. And so you're, what ends up happening is you get stuck in this place, I believe, of, do you call this stuff out or you do you just simply turn off the TV? And honestly, this is something that I struggle with as well because I'm so like, I don't like regulations. I don't like people telling other people what to do. I think where this bothered me so much is that it is on PBS. It's on public broadcasting. It's essentially government funded. Mm-hmm. And so when you start thinking that literally my tax dollars, maybe in part, are going to fund this to indoctrinate kids, in my opinion, I don't know that I love that. You know, it's like, just play your Sesame Street and teach little kids like how to count and say the alphabet. Is that so bad?
Yeah.
I mean, do we have to get into this crazy stuff?
Is this a show that's on PBS all the time now then?
I don't know.
Trying to look for because I couldn't find anything that even like talks about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw the article. I made the post basically called me backwards. And again, like I'm okay with that. I know that when I put out certain opinions, especially traditional values types of stuff that, you know, people kind of have a reaction to that anymore. Call you small-minded, need to open yourself up. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that I really view myself, and maybe I'm just not self-aware in this area, but I view myself as being a pretty open-minded person. It's just the age specific. And that was really what I wanted to talk with you about. So like, when do you think, and I know that this could be different for everybody's kids. They all get, you know, more mature, quicker, slower, whatever. But like, when do you think it's appropriate to start talking about things like sex with your kids?
So
I know for us, it happened early because we live on a ranch.
Real early. That's what I was just going to say is it happens really early because we have a ranch. But I also think that that is a benefit. And I guess where it's been is that, I mean, even before that though, it started happening when, I mean, again, kids hear things, right? It was young where Kennedy was like, somebody had said something on the bus or something about sex. And she was like, what is that?
At least it didn't come from her Aunt Amy, I guess.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, again, it was easy and I never wanted to make it weird, right? Like it's part of that where it's like, this is physically how babies are made. That's what it is. It wasn't when a man loves a woman and, you know, you have hot sex, like that wasn't the conversation. It was like, well, that's how, you know, mommies and daddies make babies. Like it was the cut and dry, like biological, this is what it was. Again, we were lucky in that she'd been around puppies and dogs breeding and cattle breeding. And, you know, so it's kind of like, well, you know, when the bull does that to the cow, like that's technically sex. Like they're making a baby. That's how you make a baby. And she's like, oh, okay. So now the beautiful thing of it is, I mean, I'd say even Riley, he's in second grade. Have we had like the big birds and bees when to have sex and how to put a condom on conversation? Of course not. Does he know that that is how babies are made? Yes. He's seen it. He knows it. It's the black and white biological. This is what it is. Kennedy though, she can have conversations like, you know, I mean, she's about to go into sixth grade. Like there's conversations happening and she's able to, again, have the conversation because it's not weird. It's not anything taboo. It's not like we're a home where we're like, nope, we don't talk about that because that's like bad. So we're very open to having conversations. We have a lot of conversations. They're very black and white conversations of like, this is what it is. This is how it is. And I feel like that's how we would have a conversation when this type of things comes up. And we've had conversations, you know, we, again, excuse me, we have people that we are friends with that are gay, lesbian, whichever. And there's been conversation of, well, is so-and-so like married to so-and-so? And it's like, well, yeah, they are. And that's what they chose. And you know, that's not something that necessarily I believe is right, but you know what? Like that's them. That's their decision. We, our job is called to love them and be kind. And that is what we will do. It is not our job to, you know, tell them what's right or wrong. Just like it's not their job to tell us if we're doing something that they think is right or wrong. And so again, we're able to kind of have the conversation black and white and not be emotional or over. But again, it all goes back to, it's the maturity of the conversation. I'm not having that conversation with Kinsey and Casey.
Yeah. At 3 years old.
Exactly.
Because even if you wanted to have the conversation, they would look at you and then they would be like, where's my Barbies at? Yeah. You know, I got to go color or something.
Well, they're still in the age, right? They're so cute. Their whole thing right now is they want to marry everybody because they think marrying everybody means that they're loving each other.
So I'm glad you brought that up because that's such a good point, right? So like I get told every day, every other day that they want to marry me, right?
Probably, I going to marry you.
Daddy, I love you. I want to marry you. And it's like, no, that's not how this works, you know?
Yeah, you can't marry me because I'm already married to mommy.
Yeah, I'm married to mommy. It's like, you'll find a boy someday, maybe, you know, and I basically tell them you'll never get married, but they will, I guess, someday. But no, just like, to me, that's
and they'll tell me the same thing. Mommy, I going to marry you.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they think that it like is love. Because again, they see it on TV. Oh, they're cute. They watch it on like, what is it? Tangled, right? In the end, they get married. And so they think, they always tell me, Mom, do the, marry daddy. Like, and that means they want me to like hold his hand.
Yeah. Like, they don't understand.
They see that on the cartoons of like, oh, they got married. You know, they're holding hands and they like look at each other lovingly. Like they're married. And that's what they think is married.
So then when you take something like that at that age and you try to start breaking down like sexual identities and gender identities and, you know, all of these different things that are outside of kind of like normal, what I would say, and again, because this is something, that person said too, who gets to decide what's normal? You? And part of me is like, well, if they're my kids, then yeah, I guess, but no, like
choices.
It comes back to again, like biological compatibility. So I remember having this conversation in college once. Again, like we lived in a duplex at one point and our neighbors happened to be lesbians.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And they were awesome chicks, like super cool. Yeah. They're like a couple of them played totally volleyball at the university. They used to come over and we'd party together and stuff and they were super cool. Well, we got into this conversation because the one I actually got in the conversation with wasn't a lesbian. It was actually her roommate and then the other girl that was always there. And so we started talking about like gay marriage and stuff like that. And of course I have a podcast, which means I'm probably not too shy with my opinions. And it got on the subject of like, do you think it's okay? Do you think it's right? And I said, no, I don't think it's right. Now that doesn't mean that it's wrong because that's my opinion. But I said, I look at this mostly from a biological standpoint, which is if two women want to get married, two men want to get married, can they reproduce? Because at our most basic core, we want to spread our seed, right? Like that's really what it is. Yeah. We want generations to carry on. And so again, from like you go out and you see any animal, you know, the bucks are out humping as many does as they can. They want to carry on. You know, any critter out there is trying to replicate and reproduce. And I think that from a primal sense, we're the exact same way. So I started talking to her and she was an awesome girl. It wasn't this, you're a bigot, you're a gay hater, blah, blah, blah. Like you see now, you know, this is 18 years ago. This is when you could still have a conversation. And I just told her, I said, you know, the only reason why I don't necessarily think it's a right is because of the reproduction. Like you just can't do it. And now I know that there's technology that can plant eggs and stuff like that. And they were probably starting to do that then. And she said, oh, well, what about when a man and a woman can't have a baby? And it was like, yeah, that's a good point. But if we were to take 100 men and women couples and 100 women and women couples, which one of those do you think are more likely to reproduce? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, right? And so to me, it's very black and white in that sense as to why I think that a man is made to be with a woman and not another man, right? And so having that opinion now is something that I will pass on to my kids. Like, I believe that's right. Now, if one of our kids end up being gay or lesbian, you know, I would probably tell them I don't agree with that life choice, but I'm not going to stop loving them. Yeah. I'm not going to start telling them that they're going to hell. And I hope that that's what I pass on to my kids. Like, I want them to have information, but I'm not going to start telling my 3-year-old that it's cool if you want to go marry another chick, right? Like I'm not even going to have the conversation about any of it. Like I want to have the conversation as, you know, like we want to create our values in our house. We want to hopefully educate them and then they can make their own decisions about these things. Mm-hmm. And that again is what comes back on like what is so crazy to me is that we don't even want to have the conversations anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't like me and our old neighbor. If we were to have that conversation on social media, 1 to 2 comments in, there would have been a bunch of name calling. There would have been a bunch of craziness. And, you know, it would have been hide your kids. You're so scared, you know, Mr. Scared or whatever, like this lady was calling me yesterday. And I'm looking at it and it's like, see, there's no dialogue. Like we can't even have this conversation.
Well, now. But like, let's go back one piece further, right? So this person is following you or somehow found your post.
Yeah.
Took the time to engage in you where, again, we all have different opinions, right? Like I might really like the color pink and you might be really annoyed that everything I do is pink, right? Like who freaking cares? Scroll on, Karen. Like,
yeah.
Why? Like to me, I'm such a big person too, where it's not like I don't want to engage in conversations. Conversations that matter, that affect me, that are involved in my family, my community, I will have them all day long. And I'll have very open and honest, non-emotional conversations with you. And non-emotional, I mean, in the sense where I'm not going to fight with you, right? Like we can have a conversation. My thing is I am not willing to waste my precious energy. We have too much going on. We're building a business. I'm raising family. We have a ranch to raise. Like I have community things to be involved in. I have things that I personally care about that I am not going to waste my energy on some random person that I don't even know that I disagree with whatever they said on social media. Who flipping cares? Scroll on.
Well, and that
there's
was
my thing. Rant for the day.
Like I basically engaged back with one comment and then she came back at me again on it. And I just left it there for that exact reason.
Yeah, it's not worth your energy.
It's not. And then here we are on a podcast talking about it. Right. But the only reason why I feel it's important though, and that I did want to talk about it is because I think it is an important conversation. And I know that a lot of you listening to this podcast, you have families, you have, you know, young kids, you have maybe older kids. And I'm curious as to what, I guess maybe how you guys have approached this topic, because I think it's different now. Like I think that some of the stuff like that show that I posted about like that, there's no way in hell that would have happened 20 years ago.
No.
And so, you know, let alone like 30 years ago when I was in that target demographic of the 3 to 8 year olds. Right. So 30 years ago that would have never happened. Like we were at that point still able to watch, you know, Tom and Jerry and smashing each other with frying pans and all that kind of good fun stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's like that stuff is too crazy for our kids to watch. Like you don't want to, I mean, God forbid Pepe Le Pew's out there, you know, trying to work his magic. That's crazy. But yet we'll broadcast this. And I just don't understand like how we've come this far or maybe went this far backwards in such a relative short period of time.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. The thing is, too, I was just going to say is I go back to, and I think this is one of those things, and you and I have talked about it, but it's like, you know, sometimes you get these people and, it stereotypes the other way, right? Like, oh my gosh, the crazy Christians that are like trying to keep everything so backwoods, whatever. But I think, you know, and what I always tell Derek and I have had this conversation and I might've even mentioned on here before where it's like, again, it kind of goes back to that mind your own business type of a thing and don't throw stones until you're perfect.
It does. But here's the problem with that is that you can mind your own business so much that things happen and you have absolutely, you've done nothing to stop it.
Agreed. But I guess what I'm saying is like upon the sense of judging other people, like where I look at it is, and some of you might've ever seen this meme out there, but you know, it's like people look at like the sin game, right? And it's like, we try to bar graph it where it's like, oh, he murdered somebody. That's like way bad. That's way up here. And then, oh, like, yeah, I kind of talk about other people and that, but that's not like that bad. So I put my bar graph, you know, way down here. But then, oh, like you're gay or lesbian. That's way off the charts. But just because I like, you know, fantasize about somebody other than my husband, I put, you know, that's like in the middle. Like they try
you
to
do that.
No, I'm making up examples. Oh my gosh. But like, all the things, right, that people have, they try to like chart them like, oh, that's not bad. That's like a bad sin. That's not so bad. Well, and I love the analogy where it's like God looks at it from straight down. So if you, let's say, you know, you have a 3D bar chart and then you flip it and you look right down on it, there's just little dots. Like it doesn't matter. A sin is a sin is a sin. So that's where I go back to where it's like, you know what? Like I may believe that, you know, it says in the Bible that a man is to be married to a woman, but at the same time, it also says don't gossip. It also says don't, you know, be envious of what other people have going on in their life. Like, all those things are sins. It is not my job. Again, like I said earlier, we are called to love people and be kind. It's not my job to say if that's right or wrong. I do me, you do you, do our things. Now, I'm with you then in the sense of like, do we just let this carry on, you know, forever? Or do we at some point be like, okay, this has gone too far? And I do agree with that, because it goes back to the piece of like, you do you in your home, I'll do me in my home. Like, we need some, you know, neutral ground in the sense of that, like, it goes back to that. How do we all coexist? Like, I'm not trying to shove everything down your throat. You're not shoving it down my throat. So anyways.
Well, and that to me is why I think that I have a small platform comparatively probably to a lot of people out there, but I use it to try to speak what I believe to be true, right? Because I think that there's a very small minority of people out there who would have you believe that all of these things that aren't true are true.
Yeah.
And the only way that you can drive out a lie, I believe, is by spreading truth. Now, is everything that I say truth? Probably not. It's my truth, right? It's what I believe in. But if we all just sit back and just take the turn the other cheek method, who's going to fight for like traditional values? Who's going to fight for things that have shown throughout history to make strong men, to make good marriages? Like, who's going to fight for that if we're all just like, oh, I'm just going to do me and my little
bubble
here?
And I agree with you completely. And the reason I agree with you is that you are still having a choice that people can choose to follow you if they want to.
Right.
Like, it's not that you are calling anybody who doesn't follow you an idiot. You're not saying, if you don't think this, then you're a moron. Like, you're not. And that's where I guess what I'm saying is, you know, we, it's that fine line of being respectful of like, hey, if you want to come into our community, perfect. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe. This is us. But if you don't, that's awesome. Like, we can still say hi at the grocery store and be friends and like, cool, you do your thing. But again, it's putting it out there is not a bad thing. I put stuff out there on my, you know, again, tiny little world as well. But at the same time, like, I'm not saying, hey, if you want to buy beef from us, you have to agree with us and you have to follow us both on our other platforms. Like, that's the type of thing where it's like, I'm not shoving it down people's throats.
Yeah. I feel like so much of this stuff is getting shoved down everybody's throats, and it's coming from such a small minority voice. Mm-hmm. It's just a really loud one.
Yep.
And then things like Twitter turn into an echo chamber.
Yep.
Right? Like the press would have you believe that if you supported Donald Trump in the last election, you were some little fringe conspiracy theorist. And it's like, mm-hmm. Well, no, actually there's 75 million people or whatever the number was that supported Trump. Now, again, whether you support Trump or not, what I guess I'm hoping you take from that is that you get this small minority of a very big platform, celebrities, elites, whatever you want to call them, that would make people who believe like you and I do that we're just this little marginalized group. And it's like, the truth is that we're not. Like, I don't know if there's different studies and stuff that show like Christian values and who still believes in God and who doesn't. And I know that's been trending, in my opinion, in the wrong way for a long time. But if you actually believe those studies, it's still we as Christians, as more traditional Americans, kind of what they call the center right in the political world, still outnumber the rest of them, right? The other ideologies, the other secularists, whatever. But if you were to watch most mainstream news, you would think that the people who believe in traditional values are the ones that are coming out of the rock every couple of years to vote, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, like, there's actually a ton of people who believe traditionally. But so many people who believe that are so scared to talk because of the things like comments like I get on a fairly regular basis, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't even have a big platform. I mean, when Joe Rogan the other day said, what did he say? Something about, I saw it flash somewhere. About how before long, like, straight white males are going to be the only ones who can't talk or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was just like heads exploding. Like, how could you ever think that? And it's like, well actually, it's pretty logical to think that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just saw the mayor of Chicago said that she won't actually grant any one-on-one interviews to white people. I'm just like, this is insane.
Talk about like,
yeah,
discrimination.
I mean, how much more racist can you get than that?
Yeah.
I mean, if that story is true, and I've seen it in a couple different places, like, could you imagine if you were to flip that around and you had a white mayor who was like, no, I'm only going to give interviews to white people, white reporters.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
she'd be out of there in 2 seconds.
Oh gosh. It would be like, that person would probably go to prison for a hate crime.
Yeah.
But when it's flipped, it's okay. And so this is, I guess, why I wanted to talk about this, because I think it all kind of ties together, which is, what do we want our kids, like, what do we want them to see? Do we want them to see the mayor of a city saying that you have to be a certain skin color in order to get an interview? Do you want your kids to see a drag queen talking about how great it is to dress up and have fun as a drag queen? Like, I don't believe that's what we want our kids to see. So it comes back to the question I was asking. Again, like, I've thought a lot about this. Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Go hide under your bed. There's part of me that's like, you know what? I will shield my kids from that type of stuff as long as I can, until we can have an educated, mature conversation about it.
Yeah.
At that point, let's lay it all out there. Let's talk about how some men want to be women and women want to be men and men want to marry men and women want to marry women. Like, I'm game to have all of those discussions with my kids, but it damn sure isn't going to be between 3 and 8 years old.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be when they're old enough to comprehend this stuff. Right now, their brain isn't even, you know, it's not even formed yet. Mm-hmm. It won't be until they're 23 to 25 years old, to where they're fully formed. And so that's why I think this stuff drives me nuts, because we're taking young, impressionable kids that don't even know how to think, what to think. They have no life experience yet to base anything on, and we're shoving this stuff down their throat. And I don't think it's healthy. I think that, I'm curious to see, like, this is a podcast. I assume it's going to be accessible in 20 years from now, 30 years from now. What I'm excited to see is, in that period from now, if this stuff keeps going the way that it is, and you were to look back at an episode like this in 20 or 30 years from now, who's going to be right? Are we going to be this just ultra tolerant, happy-go-lucky, big utopian society because we're so open-minded? Or are we going to start getting to the point in the next 10, 20 years to where we've been so tolerant that we've allowed a bunch of garbage to come in and take over anything that we hold dear to ourselves, and it's ruined us?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. I saw someone the other day talking about getting your house in order, guys. I would encourage you to do that. I don't know what the future will hold, but I think that we're headed towards some kind of weird times, maybe some tough times. So I always think that, hey, if you can, always try to figure out how to get yourself a little bit of land, figure out how to defend your family, right? Make sure that you know how to get some food if things ever do go wrong. It could be a bad storm. It could be, you know, an EMP attack on electricity or something like that. Like, I feel like it's always a good idea to be prepared. And yeah.
Yep.
We'll see what happens with all this.
Yeah. I would just say, like, kind of as a final thought is, you know, you do have the choice to what you want to be influenced by. I'm not saying to, you know, put your head under a rock and never have a clue as to what's going on. But I do think that there comes a point where it's like, you have a choice. Like I said, who are you following? What are you listening to? Are you able to listen to things because you're looking to be educated? Or is it something where you're, you know, looking at things to be that you're being influenced by in an incorrect way? And that doesn't have to be so big and deep, right? There's things that I have followed in the past where after a while and I'll just be honest about it, I had to stop following because it was like, gosh, I'm just looking at these people and I'm becoming not even envious, but like discouraged or like, gosh, look at, they have all, and again, you have to remember, you know, the social media world is a highlight reel, but was like, whoa, how do they have all that? How did they get this? How is their like overnight success? Like all the things. And I was like, this is not serving me. This is not motivating me. It's not inspiring me. Like I need to quit. From our business standpoint, like I, for a while, like followed different people that, you know, were doing similar things. And it was inspiring and encouraging, but at the same times I become myself sometimes getting in like the comparison game where I told Derek not long ago, I have to like not watch any of their stuff because I start being like, oh, gosh, well, like ours doesn't look like that, or ours, this isn't doing this. And it's like, I can get down a rabbit hole. So just guard yourself, like consciously think about, what are you influencing yourself with? Is it even television shows that you're watching that, you know, you're looking at different relationships and feeling bad or depressed because you wish you had those relationships, or, you know, just whatever it is, just guard yourself as to what you're like, be aware, I guess, for, you know, a couple of days, like really look at something and then feel like, how am I feeling after I'm watching this or listening to this or being around certain people in your life. I know there's different people that I've had to walk away from because it was like, I'm not getting anything good from this relationship. So just be aware of that as you're going through this time period. And I think it is a time to not necessarily, you know, black and white, and I'm only going to watch, follow, and be involved with people that I agree with 100%, but just how are those influences affecting you and what are you being influenced by?
Well, I totally agree. I think that along the same lines, though, it is important to always, always be exposed to people who don't think the same way that you do. I think that is important. And so I understand the jealousy or the envy game. You got to be careful with that. It's so easy in social media to fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about that before. But I also think it's equally as easy to fall into your own little bubble. And that's why I do follow certain people that I vehemently disagree with. Like, I probably disagree with someone like Bill Maher more than anyone else on this planet. But yet I watch him because I end up finding ourselves that we actually do agree on some stuff. And I think that if you're only in an echo chamber, you'll never grow, mm-hmm. right? It's just like I was listening to a podcast of my old bosses and he was like, you know, like people who aren't going to grow, they like to put their will, their ideas on people around them, which is great. That's what's called influence, right? We all want to have influence. But people who are truly going to do great, they want to learn from those who are where they want to be. And so if I'm only surrounding myself with people that I want to influence or the people that are a bunch of yes men or whatever, I'm never going to grow. So you have to walk this balance. And I think it's different for everybody because I think that some people can tolerate that stuff that you were just talking about better than others.
Absolutely. And like kind of what your triggers are.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Because like we both love this podcast. It's actually a couple's podcast. It's great. And they have a bunch of stuff that someday we hope to have. And
not just materially, just like success and just kind of what they're...
They actually have a very similar story in a lot of ways to ours. And so I think we relate to them. And so to me, I listen to them and I'm sure there's some people who listen to that podcast and they're like, oh my gosh, like they talk about their $10 million house and their Lamborghinis and this. And it's just like, oh, the comparison game. And I'm like, no, like I think it's kind of cool because they're further along the line in business than we are. But so much of their story is very similar to ours that I use it as inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so there's always going to be this balance with it. And I think it comes back again, all the way back to the original point. Like, what do you expose your kids to? Well, you want to expose them to different ideas, but it has to be at a certain point in time in their life. Like there's a time in my life to where if I would have listened to the couple's podcast we're talking about, I probably could have found myself being envious of them. Mm-hmm. Right. But now I'm in a different stage.
And judgmental, right? Like, oh, well, who are you to put all this out there and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and
talking about $1,000 shoes and handbags. And I would have just been like, ugh.
Gag and what's me, so right? funny, right? Like that is not us in that sense. Like I might buy $1,000 boots, but I don't know that I would be buying like stilettos and right. Like, I mean, they live in a totally different life, but at the same time, like you said, your different mindset at different times can look at things differently.
And so again, like at a different age, at 38, I'm more open to their message than I would have been at 28. Mm-hmm. Just as at 4 years old, I don't know that you're open to a conversation that you can have at 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
And there's just this big shift in things. And so I think to kind of circle it back all the way from the very beginning is, am I shielding my kids from this stuff? Yes. Right now I am. Not forever. Not because I'm necessarily, again, terrified of my 3-year-old seeing that stuff. It's because I don't think that they fully understand it. There will come a point in time to where we have these conversations. I will give them my perspective and then I will tell them you need to find out what you think about this. Mm-hmm. So I would ask you all out there, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, I would love to hear some feedback on it. Shoot me a message on social media, shoot Jess a message on Instagram, whatever. And let us know, like, do you have these conversations with your kids? If so, like, when did you start talking to them about sex? When did you start talking to them about gender identities and you know, the LGBTQ, RSVP, whatever's, right? Like when did you start talking about all of that stuff? Or did you avoid it altogether and just tell them to read the Bible? Like, I don't know. I know everybody right?
It's
does
even
things
a conversation
different.
Of like money. I mean, that's a big one too.
Yeah. When
like,
did you start talking to your kids about money and not just about the money is valuable, but like how you earn it, how you work for it, how you provide value.
Your family's money, right? Like, I'm not going to tell like my 3-year-old, like, oh, we can't afford. I don't know. Like, again, what do you say? Like when, you know, when they want to go on the trip and you're like, well, let's sit that down because that trip costs this much and we can't afford that. And like, are you having those conversations or are you just like, yeah, honey, someday we'll go. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, at 3 years old, they don't understand anything, exactly. But yes or no. So All right, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed this one. We're going to wrap it up. It was actually going to be a little short one, and here we are almost an hour into it. Just couldn't help ourselves. So hopefully you enjoy it. Again, hit us up on social media at primal.king, at bootwearingmama, and let us know what you think on this topic. I'm curious to get your feedback as to when you started having these conversations. Am I just this old fuddy-duddy traditionalist crazy Christian that doesn't want my kids to be exposed, or do you have a similar thought process as we do as far as it is kind of an age-appropriate game? So, all right, everybody, we will see you next week. Have an awesome day. Take care.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.